So we've been going through building on the foundation. And I got to turn this on, maybe. No, that's there. And hopefully we'll go through all of this in the next two Sundays. No, I'm kidding. We've gone through the Bible. We are finishing God attributes and character. It's taken us a few Sundays, but that's okay. We're not, this is not a speed race. It's just, we're going to take our time with some subjects. And the attributes of God are sometimes very difficult to comprehend to our feeble mind, human mind. So we're taking some time to go through them, to some of them, to go through the essence of God through. And we've had some great conversations. And hopefully we'll get through all of that. And in between, we'll do some other stuff, and I'll get to it in a sec. So we're going through this. Today we'll go through mercy. And I'm going to add, actually, grace and mercy. I don't think you can separate the two. So I'll take some time to go through them. Hopefully we'll get to finish. And then next Sunday, Kirk will finish with truth. And then we'll take a break the last Sunday of the month. And Freddie and I will give an update on the state of the church, some planning that we have, and some get to know each other, and more informal discussion on what we want to do, and just have an open discussion on what's going on and anything you guys want to talk about, and we don't want an answer. So, no, I'm kidding. You know I'm kidding. So, any questions? No? A lot of questions? A lot of stuff, huh? A lot of stuff. Good. All right, so God's grace and mercy. God's grace, mercy. What comes to mind when we talk about grace and we talk about mercy? And that's a question to you guys. And remember, this is you talking with me, not just me talking to you. I'm not good at that. What comes to mind, Osborne? Say again.
His love towards us.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Forgiveness. Okay. Yes.
Not giving us the judgment that we deserve.
Not giving us the judgment that we deserve. Yeah. You heard me say that grace is getting what you don't deserve. And mercy, not getting what you deserve. Grace is receiving what you don't deserve. Mercy, not receiving what you deserve. You agree? In a sense, I think we all agree, right? Yeah, so let's get to, before we get to that, grace. And I'm here, I'm quoting, let's see who I put it there. This is from our friend Gruden. And it says, God's goodness toward those who deserve only punishment. So the goodness of God. But it goes to, we're not getting the punishment that we deserve, right? And mercy means a goodness towards those in misery and distress. Because we are getting something that we don't deserve. Now, Tony, Exodus 34:6. Daron, Psalm 103:8. John, wake up. 145:9, Psalm. And Osborne, Matthew 5:45. Exodus 34:6, Psalm 103:8, Psalm 145:9, and Matthew 5:45.
Exodus 34:6.
Hold on, when I tell you to.
Oh, sorry.
We have order here, sir.
Chaos.
That's okay, I'm giving you time to. Okay, that's good. He's ready. Just before we get there. Most often in the Bible, you find grace and mercy mentioned together. And that's what we're going to see in a sec, in those. They come together, but they're not the same. Yes? Yeah. Well, we'll see some of that. We'll see some of that, hopefully, in the next 45 minutes. And if we don't, you said you didn't show it. But hopefully we'll see that. We'll see that. God's patience, his grace, means God's goodness is withholding the punishment toward those who sin over a period of time. So let's get to it. Tony, now you can read. And now he's not ready. Uh-huh. See? We started to see how the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger. Who's got Psalm 103:8? And this is David. David reminding what he has learned from the law, from the Moses, from the learnings that the Lord is gracious and merciful. And sometimes we can't separate them. And that's the point we're trying to make. Okay? Psalm 145:9. Matthew 5:45. And we're going to make a difference. We're going to set them apart here with something I'm going to say. Grace, it's for the chosen people, for the elect. And mercy, it's for the believer and the unbeliever. And you're like, no, how can that be? I'll show you. We'll get to it. But it's important. They're mentioned together. They're not the same. Because the application to you is different. Remember we talked some Sundays ago that God is sovereign. And that we can't separate his attributes. We only do it so we can understand them. But God is God and all his attributes are together. And all of them work together. There's not one more than the other. There's no more holy today and less righteous and more gracious and more or less merciful. He is, his essence is completely whole all the time. And when I read that, every time I read that, I go, how is that? I don't get it. So I'm not like that. And I'm perfect. And you laugh, but you look at yourself in the mirror every morning and say, you're perfect. You're awesome. You're going to do great today. You know you do it. I have no idea what you're talking about, because I have none. But the point is that sometimes it's hard for us to understand that. We try to scale the attributes to understand. But grace is for the chosen people. Remember, we said everything is by grace, and we'll get to it in a sec. Okay? Yes? What about it? But what about it? And? Give me more. Give me more. Yeah, but you're throwing. Yeah. What about it? What about it?
Grace is just for
believers. And mercy is for both. How does he show? Let's go back to his point. How does he show that common grace? Which is mercy. His point earlier. That he's. And he is merciful and gracious. Both of them. Right? And he is merciful to whom he wants to be merciful. And in the same sentence he says, I am graceful, gracious to whom? To whomever I want to be gracious. Right? That's why I said he's sovereign. And we're going to get to three characteristics of mercy and grace. And she's looking at me like, I have no clue what you're talking about, Victor. Yeah, I know, me too. Because we're trying to say that he is everything to everyone. And he isn't. This is what we talked about, the sovereignty of God and the elect. And we're going to get that in a sec. Hopefully you'll get it in a sec. When something is called of grace, we mean that the recipient has no claim to it. Right? So, common grace. Can you claim everything that you have for yourself? No. Common grace. Can you claim the oxygen that you breathe? Is it because you've done it? No. Who provides it? God. Who provides the rain? God. You follow? Because we're gonna get to the expression of grace through salvation. I'm trying to get there. I don't want to get there because of the importance of that.
Common grace is saving
grace. It's saving grace. Mm-hmm. Still grace.
Oh, wait, there's two different
grace. It's grace.
It's just grace.
It's grace. Mm-hmm.
It's the attitude of God.
And we're like, what? It's grace. Go get coffee, she says. It's unasked. It's undesired. It's charity. That's grace. God's grace is an absolute and eternal free favor of God in the revelation of spiritual and eternal blessings to the guilty and the unworthy. Let me read that again. God's grace is the absolute and eternal free favor of God in the revelation of spiritual and eternal blessings to the guilty and the unworthy. You know that through this I found A.W. Pink now as one of my favorite writers. And he defines it as this, is the sole source from which flows the goodwill, love, and salvation of God unto his chosen people. Grace. And I want to read, because I try to put it in my own words, and I can't. I just can't. So adjust your headsets, your universal translator, and divine grace is the sovereign and saving favor of God exercised in the bestowment of blessings upon those who have no merit in them and for which no compensation is demanded from them. More, it is the favor of God shown to those who not only have, and this is where I need to look at words and what they mean, no positive deserts of their own, meaning they have no claim. They have no real claim to something. They have no claim of their own, but who are thoroughly ill-deserving and hell-deserving. It is completely unmerited and unsought. It is altogether unattracted by anything in and from or by the objects upon which it is bestowed. Grace can neither be bought, earned, nor won by the creature. If it could be, it would cease to be grace. You follow the point? How much? Exactly. How much can you do to deserve grace? Zero. I try to think about something that could make sense to us. And the closest I could come to me understanding is me buying my wife a gift for her 25th anniversary just because she has stuck with me 25 years. She deserves it more than anything. And I appreciate the support, whoever said that. But that just fails in comparison. Because if you asked her, she says, no, you deserve it more. And I would say, yes. You follow it? You understand it? You understand it here and here? Because that is what we're trying to get. That we apply it. Not just sitting here today at 9:55. Is that we actually apply and understand it and live it when we're in the middle of dealing with the things that we deal with. The problems with family that we deal with. When my kid does whatever, and I want him to do whatever. When I've been praying for my sister and my brother-in-law, and they... When I've been praying for my unbelieving husband or wife. When things happen to you, and you say, why me? And God says, why not? But Victor, you know, that's harsh. It is. Welcome to the club. It's the application of what we're talking about. You and I don't deserve anything good that's happening in our lives. Zero. So let's move on. Let's go to... Let's go here, Romans 11:6. Who can look at Troy, 11:6. Taj, Ephesians 2:8-9. And Veronica, Romans 4:4-5. You know, the greatest exposition of amazing grace that we have in our hands right now, it's in the Bible. Yes, you can say it's in the Bible. It's the right answer. They're found in the epistles written by Paul. He clearly makes a difference. And we've said it many times, and you know it. Grace stands in full opposition to works. Grace works. So who's got Romans 11:6? And I've missed it yet. Troy. But it is by grace. It is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. You know, I know I'm closer to God than Troy. I know that.
He's taller than you.
It doesn't matter. But I'm better than him. I do more. I do more. You know, we keep track of what he's done and what I've done. That's how it is. Yeah. Yeah. That's our race. I know I'll get there before he does. He wants to get there before I do. I'm like, bro, no way. No way. He told me. You know we're joking. You know I'm joking. Romans 4, 4 and 5. What does that mean? Anyone? Is it? Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. Let me ask you this way. Is grace a gift? Yes. So his point is, if you work for it, it's not a gift. It's owed you something. And his point is, you don't have to work for it. It's freely given. And it's freely given where? In him who justifies the ungodly. Saving grace. I know I didn't go straight to it. But you see it? At least just say, yeah, maybe. It's a gift. It's a gift. And I think most of you who are here today are believers. So you have received that gift and know that you're not worthy of that gift. And that realization, it's the first step, knowing that you're not worthy of that gift. Any questions? Okay, three characteristics of grace. Yes, sir. No, sir. Thank you. Go ahead. You actually saw my notes, right?
Yeah.
Because actually, it's the point, but that, thank you that you brought it up right now. It's the point right after this. Every other religion, you have to do something. Right. Some of them, depending on what you've done, how bad you've been, you reincarnate into a cockroach. Or you can come back as a better self. Or you have to do, if you did something morally wrong, you have to do something, a combination of things morally just better. I mean, there's no way to win. But I always go back to the thief on the cross. How much time did he have to do anything good after? To do anything? And he was promised to be with Christ in paradise. Because he did what? He recognized that he was God. Yes, John.
There is.
Amen.
Mercy for him.
Amen. And I always go back to that moment. When I get into these conversations, when I get into my personal doubts, and I'm like, he didn't do anything except recognize that Christ was God. Amen. And let's just stay there for a moment. There's another moment of the extension of grace from Christ when he prays, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. I always try to put myself in those moments. What would I have done? Who I would have been had I have been in that time? You know, we always think, no, I would have loved Christ. I would have... No. Today, we can't do it. Peter, who was closest to him, couldn't do it. You think you can't do it? But think about grace. He allowed you to be born now. For you to have and hurt someone to bring you the word, and for you to be here, and for you to be living for him. You see the point? You see what I'm trying to tell you? There's no what ifs. I'll be with you in a sec. Because it's all grace. It's a gift. It's a gift that is eternal. Can someone look at 2 Timothy 1:9? I should have had my pad here, and I didn't. 2 Timothy 1:9. He gave it to us before anything, before ages. So that grace is eternal. And I'll be with you guys in a sec. And that is also free. We talked about that. Romans 3:24. Freddie, can you look at it? Romans 3:24. That's it? Okay. And it's sovereign. We just talked about that. You had a question. Right. And that also is in the context of humility and us giving of ourselves for him and others. And that's what we call, because we ought to live like he lived. Right? Carl, you wanted to say something. I didn't say it. It's in the Bible. I'm gonna be Edwin. I didn't say it. It's in the Bible. We had a conversation offline here, and Bob said something, and he said, this is my opinion, and I'm going to repeat it because it's his opinion. He's looking at me like, the name of the elect, they're the book of the elect. I'm paraphrasing here. Before the creation of the world. So God already knows, and he already knows the moment and time when that person will come to him. Because he ordained it that way. And we talked about maybe 3 or 4 Sundays ago, we had a great conversation about that here. So, eternal life is a gift. It cannot be earned. So, two questions. Who has the right to tell God to whom he should be gracious to? I'm just asking. You can have your opinion. What say you? Right? No one? No one? No one? No one wants to answer. Okay. I see Jared going. Who is wronged if God chooses a limited number of people to be saved? Who is stepping on whose toes when he says, only this side?
Side what?
Only this side is not saved. I'm on this side. And that is his grace and his mercy. And I'm trying to, this is my connection. Because you didn't know that. We didn't know that. On the contrary, the arguments I had, like how can a good God allow for all of this to happen? How can he allow for everyone? Jesus came and saved everyone. And you know that's an argument that is made every single day in your families, at your work, in the world, and it's absolutely wrong. But it's not because you, all of a sudden, in your own study, it's because he was gracious to you. Because he's gracious to whom he is gracious. Mercy, not you, mercy. Mercy. It is mostly emphasized where people are in misery or distress in the Bible. And I'm going to read this, guys, because I don't have a lot of time here. 2 Samuel 24:14, David says, for example, I am in great distress. Let us fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercy is great. It's a dependency. Can we truly say like David, how many times we want to solve our problems? We go to one of our brothers and we're talking about solving our issue and the person says, but have you prayed? Have you brought it to the God of mercy? Duh. It's a dependency. Matthew 9:27, the two blind men who wish Jesus to see their plea and heal them cry what? Have mercy on us, son of David. In 2 Corinthians 1:30, when Paul speaks of the fact that God is to comfort us in affliction, he calls God the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. And I combine there Matthew 5:7 and 2 Corinthians 1:3 and 4, and you can look it up, write it down. We are to imitate God's mercy. Matthew 5 is the Beatitudes. So blessed are the merciful. For what? For they shall obtain mercy. So be merciful because he is merciful to you. But I do want to do this. Nana, Psalm 136:1. Christina, 1 Kings 3:6. Shorty, Psalm 86:5. Mercy, Luke 1:78. Betty, 1 Peter 1:3. Madame Priante, Psalm 103:17. And who can do Psalm 59:16, chastity? Right, who has Psalm 136:1? And we are going to see how mercy is described. How is mercy? Mercy is fine. We see her right there. Mercy is fine. Uh-huh. I want to make a point. Steadfast love, equal sign, mercy. You get it? Understand it? Now, read verse 2. Read verse 3, please. Three times. Give thanks to the Lord of Lords, to the God of Gods, for his mercy endures a short time. It endures forever. And we've said many times that forever is a very long time. At least for us. And if you ask him, there's no measurement of time as we know it. Yes? So I want to make a point, at least three of them at the beginning. But all of them, the whole psalm, his mercy endures forever. Go. Just like, I know, I can't read before he tells me. Okay, well, what? How was the steadfast love? How was the mercy? What's the word that he uses? She says, great? Yes, great. You just read it, said great. Great. Mercy is endures forever. It's great. And it's Tony the Tiger. Mercy is great. It's awesome. That great is awesome. That's the word. It's not just great. It's wow. Make sure that when you read the Bible, you actually go and look at the meaning in the original of the word. So you really can get that essence of how they're writing. Next. Abundant in mercy. It abounds in mercy. It's abundant. What's abundant? It's plenty of, right? It's abundant. It's great. It endures. Next. How is that described? What's the word that is used? Tender. Come on, you just read it. You can answer tender. It's tender. How many of us have that picture of God? Just not, you know, we can't see him as a tender, loving, caring God. But his own word describes him as tender. Tender mercy. Because he's tender even in our afflictions. And we can't understand that. And I have 5 minutes and I want to go through this real quickly. Next. Amen. Amen. Abundant. Abounding. Abundant. Tender. Endures forever. Next. Mm-hmm. Is what? From everlasting to everlasting. Is endures forever. And not only that, it's for whom? What's the last part? Those who fear him. And last but not least, Psalm 59:6. I should sing. When do we sing? When do you sing? Most often. When you're happy. When you're thankful. And it says that I will sing for joy. Right? For his mercy. You know, in your vocation, because I call yours not a job, a vocation. Because it's hard what you do. And I'm talking to you, Christina. And if you don't know what she does, ask her later. I'm not going to tell you. Christina Sayas, right there. She brings joy to people when they're in a very, 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 and my verys are getting very short, in very difficult moments of their lives of people. Am I wrong? No. And she does it with a great heart because she wants to bring that joy of the Lord. That's why I call it a vocation. So there are three distinctions that my now favorite author, A.W. Pink, makes of mercy: general, special, and sovereign mercy. And general mercy, and I will finish reading this, is extended to all his creation, believers and unbelievers. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. So Psalm 145:9. And in Acts 17:25, says, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. Special mercy, he says, he makes his sun rise in the evil and the good and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. Special towards his children, but temporal towards the unbeliever. Because the moment the unbeliever dies, se acabó. And it's sovereign because it is reserved for the heirs of salvation. And there's a bunch of them, so please write them down. I just want to take longer than I should. But he is called in 2 Corinthians 1:3, he is the Father of mercies. He's tender, abundant, everlasting to everlasting, great mercy. But even though his mercy endures forever, nothing can make him give it to anyone except himself. God cannot, and this is a double negative, cannot never cease to be merciful. For it is in his essence to be merciful. But the exercise of his mercy is his sovereign will. He will be merciful to whom he will be merciful. If something makes him to be merciful, then that thing is supreme and God stops being God. Any question? One final question. Anyone? No? Good. Yes? No? Say again? A verse? Yes, ma'am?
2:11.
Uh-huh.
For the grace of God that you owe special people.
Mm-hmm. So it is given to all, but not all will answer. That was the first point that we made. And it's only for the elect. It's only for the chosen ones. Because he can't stop being who he is. And I wanted to include something else here, but I want to leave you with this. Hopefully it's still there. No, it's not there. I have it twice. Sorry. I wanted you to go to three stories of great mercy in the Bible. So write them down. Number one is in 2 Chronicles 33. And it's the story of King Manasseh and how the Lord had mercy on him. Manasseh was a monster of barbarity, for he caused his own children to pass through the fire and filled Jerusalem with innocent blood. He actually killed his own children. Read it. Second, we know him well, the story of Saul, the great apostle. And we forget how bad he was, how terrible he was. But God had mercy. And three, and this is one that really, I read it, and I read it, and I read it, the Corinthians. Think South Beach, Las Vegas, and steroids. Yes? Yes. Paul actually writes to them when he writes in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Amen. Say it. Amen.
Amen.
And that was you and that was me. And that's what we need to celebrate. And that's what we need to live for Him. Because He rescued us. Because He is a gracious and merciful God. Father, thank you for the time that you provide for us to hear you, Lord. We pray that you continue to strengthen our faith, to provide for each one of our families here present today, and that we have the desire, the words, the opportunities to preach you, to be a testimony of your grace and mercy to others. In your name we pray, Lord. And everyone says,
Amen.
Thank you, guys. See you next time.